welcome to the Small Cap Podcast, where we discuss news and information related to ASX-listed companies and financial markets, keeping investors informed. Note that the content in this podcast is not financial or investment advice, and be sure to head over to smallcaps.com.au to get the latest market news. Now, without further delay, here's today's podcast.
Welcome back to our fortnightly wrap with Mr. Tony LeCantro from Alto Capital, coming at us all the way from over there in, it's not really lockdown Perth, it's border closed Perth, and here I am in Sydney, but we can still talk using technology. Tony, how are you?
Yeah, extremely busy, Kerry. It's been an amazing market. And who would have thought that a dreaded virus would actually prove fortuitous for me? I just can't believe it. At the start of the year, my top stocks were under quite a lot of pressure. And I just think what's happened with the lockdowns and the lack of investment returns everywhere and this new $5 brokerage has seen just a stampede of new investors relying on tips and social media, and the volumes have just been astronomical. So, yeah, it's frantic. It's frantic, and hopefully everyone at some point can enjoy their profits or wallow in the losses.
Well, when you say wallow in the losses, is it a warning sign to you when it's $5 brokerage fee and people have got too much time on their hands and they're taking tips from social media? Is that a warning sign to you?
I think it's always a warning sign. You see in the press, a lot of riders would find a kid with 25 homes in the outer western suburbs of Sydney and then focus on how they built up a real estate portfolio. But there's not much activity when it comes to promoting what people have done with shares. But normally when that comes, it's at the short-term top of the market. So, you know, we have the US election, the US indices are overpriced. A lot of our stocks, you look at Afterpay through $100 now, there's madness. And we had that tech bubble. So certainly some warning signs just to not be complacent. And I liken it to people, once they become addicted to crap stocks and being anxious, it's very hard to come off. And that's what I stick to quality. We occasionally dabble in some lesser quality, but you just got to maintain the discipline. And I think a lot of people aren't going to be doing that because watching the screens, it's craziness. It's crazy.
Well, Tony, I know how much you love politics. Ladies and gentlemen, he doesn't. But we are 3 weeks out from the US election. I'm not following it too much, but you can't help it. Sometimes you just got to have a look at which clown's going to potentially come in and run that economy. Is it going to make a jot of difference? Is that what people are waiting? I mean, how do you see it? Same, same?
Oh, I think we certainly are due for some volatility. You just can't tiptoe through the tulips like this. Even when gold didn't have much volatility, the US market dropped, you know, during the capitulation well under 20,000 points, and there just hasn't been enough volatility. And I think this election and what's happening will give people a reason to sell. And I think, you know, we're in for a bit of a bitch slap, as I like to call it, because you just can't have that path to multiple returns without copying it.
Well, there's a lot of government stimulus. There's a lot of money sitting there going, well, I need a home, I need to play. And for goodness sake, a lot of people, literally, it is punting, it's not investing.
It's punting and they're wasting money on every other thing. It's just, it's like, you know, having a KFC Streetwise meal, then asking to finish off your kid's dinner box, you know, Zinger box. We're just gouging on stimulus. We're gouging ourselves on debt. And yeah, Eventually it has to wear off. And that hit, because when you look at what's left in the economy, we've got overpriced housing, which is under pressure. We've got all these job cuts coming. Our industries are shot to pieces. So I think that reality is going to hit, and it's not going to be pretty. But again, markets are priced for perfection, and that normally spells trouble.
Well, Tony, you do a lot of research and you understand these markets. So you've been in the markets for over 20 years now. Do you call it the bitch slap, but what do you think people should do? And what I always say is, you know, hedge and diversify. You say that the property market's overvalued. You say that the stock market looks like it's in for a bit of a rewrite. Do people sit in cash or do they keep taking risks? I mean, you're not getting, I mean, interest rates are zero, if not negative or going to negative. What do people do at the moment? I mean, for me, I'm an investor. For me, confusion reigns. Now, yeah. I hedge and diversify because I always say, like, I've got a little bit of crypto, I've got a little bit of property, and I know you don't like property at all. And I tend to agree with you that Australia is overvalued. We'll talk about that again in a minute. But what do people do to protect and grow their wealth? Do they sit just in cash and wait for an explosion that may never come? Because we've talked about this before.
That's a good point. A lot of clients I deal with have a lot of precious metals. They'll either go through the Perth Mint or they'll have their own gold or silver bullion. So that's more of a defensive position, which actually maintains purchasing power. And precious metals have done the job, but the real leverage is in the gold stocks. So what I'm seeing is I take a portfolio approach with my clients in speculation. I look for small companies that become bigger ones, and there's still quite a lot of value out there because a lot of the rubbish is running. So I say to clients, look, at the end of the year, there's going to be a list of stocks in that top stocks column, regardless of what the major indices do. And that's all I do. I just stick to my guns. I don't become caught up in conspiracy theories or elections or politics or any of that. I just maintain the focus on our companies and what it does to our economy. Because that's what I say to my clients. My client base is an economy. So once we start to get a bit of a lift, it helps everyone.
Well, you recently put out your yearly top stocks. And I hope I'm going to be able to do this really yeah. well and really easily, but I want to share that with our viewers today. Are you seeing that, Tony?
Yeah, got it.
Okay, so we've got 12 top stocks here. Let's go through them.
Yeah, so that's the year-to-date scorecard for this year. So I'm happy to share that on social media. The other thing I'll stipulate, Kerry, is I only talk about stocks that we're happy to buy at the same price.
Right.
So I've got to be very careful. Obviously, with somewhat of a media profile, I don't want to be seen as, I'm just trying to help people to find the right stocks. So that's what we've achieved thus far. But a lot of the time, these stocks are going to take longer than 12 months.
Yeah, so, and Tony, do you think that people, because a lot of people are new, do you think they want the crack high rather than the investment long term?
Oh, absolutely. They're just looking for that hit of dopamine, adrenaline, you name it. They find a tip off someone on social media more attractive than coming to an advisor, which is fine. I actually argue that discount stockbroking is the best thing to happen to full service brokers that care because you've got all this inexperience. And I mean, I'm bound by compliance but I think, there's very few people that actually appreciate what they own. And if you buy the right stock, you've got to treat it as a bit of a journey. Let management do what they set out to do. And I've ridden a number of stocks a long, long way, and often it's what you don't know that drives it. Just say, bad example, Bill Beament buys Paulsons for Northern Star, or Remelius buy Mount Magnet. You just have to be prepared to ride it, and often the returns from sitting on your backside doing nothing are far greater than try and trade and worry about what the Dow Jones did overnight or the gold price.
Yeah, don't look at the, yeah. Looking at these, your 12 picks.
Yep.
Any in there that you say, looking in hindsight, you say to yourself, well, didn't pick that one. Or are you pretty, I mean, they're all green, which is a massive a massive tick for you. My goodness me. But any surprises in there?
I think Nanolos was a major surprise. I helped them with some cash at 2.4 cents. Now, they are looking to produce fabric from coconut sugar and waste.
Oh.
So it's pretty much the idea that it's going to save a lot of water in the production of fabric. So they actually performed quite well. Godolphin had some really good news today. We're actually in there buying more Godolphin. So they reckon they're on a cusp of a porphyry system. That's
a gold stock, isn't it?
Yeah. It's a porphyry. So it's a copper gold. They do have some gold projects as well. The one that I have been buying quite aggressively is Narada. So I don't think, obviously this year, they only listed early in the year, but they are looking to have some cholesterol results and traumatic brain injury results early next year before they hit the clinic. Eagle Mountain's just been a case of having the right management. That was Charlie Bass from Aquila and Eagle Mining fame. And they got down to 12, actually they got under sub 10 cents and they recently hit 48 and a half. So often what I do is grab a copy of the Financial Review and hit it with a highlighter and look for companies that, the higher quality companies that I may have overlooked.
Tony, you mentioned Eagle Mountain and management. I always say to people when we're having a chat about these things that, you know, you can have the best asset or the best company or the best project in the world, but if you've got crap management, it'll end up being a dud in the long term. What sort of importance do you put on good management?
Extremely important, because I've found throughout my career is if a company doesn't find it, they'll acquire it.
Yeah.
So obviously the decent projects are going to get offered to the decent people that can raise the money to pay for it. But I've dealt with a lot of management teams. We are at the high risk side of the market. So these, if you look at the backgrounds of the people, I go to a lot of conferences. Oh, well, I did anyway.
You did?
And yeah, I did. And, you know, I look at who's running these companies and there's some talented people. I look at Hammer Metals, which is doing okay. I mean, Dan Thomas is running that and he was the BD for Sandfire. And it has Ziggy and Russell from Gold Road, which he was on the drill rig when they found Gruyere. And I think, you know, 5 cents into $1.80 plus.
And where are their assets? What are they doing? I haven't been following HMX.
Yeah, they've got some WA gold assets. They've also got a joint venture up in Queensland with JogMeg. You know, we're comfortable. I raised them a lot of money at 2.2. They're trading around 5, but that's the type of stock you put to sleep and let management grow the company, because I'm not saying anything I come up with is going to replicate what Northern Star did, but that's the type of stock that has the right ingredients to do that.
Gold is, and you know, shameless plug here, we're doing a virtual gold conference on the 26th of November. And, you know, that's free to attend for all of you out there. 26th of November, go to goldevents.com.au and you'll see it there. But, Tony, there's a lot of companies that, you know, once they were doing uranium or once they were doing nickel, now they're doing gold. Do you think there's a lot of crap in amongst the golden nuggets, excuse the pun?
Oh, look, I've seen the regurgitating of crap since .com. I mean, you could almost rubber stamp those announcements. And you look at every sector bubble, it's the same line, same recipe. It's like an AC/DC song, right? They rarely sound different. I mean, are those guys ever going to write a ballad? I don't think so. And that's the way. I mean, this could have been the way since the 1600s when the stock markets were established. You'll start seeing a lot of projects acquired in countries that they're never going to be a mine, but the company gets that hit. People start talking about potential. They start comparing it to something else. And then it all turns to shit, like in every other bubble.
But are you saying that the gold sector is in a bubble right now?
The junior golf, absolutely. Absolutely. And I think that when you get companies capped well over $1 billion that don't have 10 million ounces in the ground, you're seeing a lot of hype, a lot of trading activity. You look at some of the more popular people on Twitter, they've got thousands of followers. So I think it's a bit of a run. You know, companies are starting to run on intersections that wouldn't gather much attention. So I think the sector is building towards a bubble, most definitely. And there is a lot of stocks there that won't make it. But, you know, as I said before, there's just far too much choice for people. And what brings the end of, what brings it will be suddenly the company stop running and everyone starts to panic. So, look, I've seen it all. I've seen every sector. It's the same process. You look at uranium back in 2005, 2006. There was five. I watched that interview with Rick Rule. You know, there was only a handful of companies, and suddenly there's hundreds. So it's just the same rinse and repeat.
Right. So I want to go through all of these companies very quickly with you before I come back to you, and we'll take this off. But let's just. You've mentioned a few of them, and if I can go from, I'm going to go from the bottom up. So you've spoken about Nanolus, which is, you know, the ability to make fabric from coconut fiber or whatever.
Coconut fruit, yeah.
That's a green story. You like the management there?
Yeah. They've been, it's been a good stock. Obviously with the lockdowns has had a bit of an impact because they are dealing with India, but I mean, it's a big story. And I think what will happen is it'll become like the less is more economy. People won't be buying loads of crap. They'll just focus on some good stuff. But again, the disclaimer is that we're in there at 2.4 cents and they're currently around 7. So that's,
Okay. Godolphin, we've spoken about. Anything other than what we've spoken about?
No, not really. It's just... To me, when I got involved with that stock, it always had that Staveley-like potential. Good company underpinned with in-ground resources and the chance at a major discovery. So that, to me, that is the perfect model of a junior explorer.
Yeah. PAA, Pharmost, they had a bit of a struggle recently. I still like them, still confident that they're going to get through this?
Well, again, we got in at 2.5 cents and the thing ran to about 27.5. So obviously a lot of my clients would have de-risked it. And Elanco didn't exercise the option for Monypantel. They have had some success with Monypantel in relation to COVID and they just got a decent grant. It was about $880,000 for motor neuron disease. So I think that Elanco not exercising the option opens them up to further discussions. And, I think they're okay, certainly okay. Let's see what next year brings. But, again, we were set very early.
That's what. That's where the smart money is. Narada, don't know Narada, NYR.
NYR. So they're developing a cholesterol inhibitor, which has in early tests has mimicked the two FDA approved drugs. So this the belief is that statins don't work in a lot of people. So they're trying to develop a daily pill for cholesterol. And there's been quite a lot of large transactions in the US. They also have involved in traumatic brain injury and concussion and also what comes following a stroke. So a very interesting company, have some great US directors who have been in some major transactions. The stock's great. It runs to 37, then traders leave it, and back we are around 20 cents.
Wow. Okay. Flown a little bit under the radar. I'll take a look at that one.
Yeah.
Protium, that's another biotech, isn't it?
Yeah, proteomics, they're involved in a diabetic kidney disease test. Eagle Mountain, we discussed.
Yep. Red Metal. Now, this is one of the ones that you have liked for, that's Rob Rutherford, isn't it, from memory?
Yeah.
You like this one, Tony?
Yeah, I've been involved for quite some time and it gives a trading range of between 3.1 cents and 52.5 cents. So it does have that range. It is underpinned by decent lead silver resource in Queensland, and their recent drilling was inconclusive. So we're up around 17, 17 and a half, and it's now back to about 11 at the moment. But again, that to me is one of the best quality junior explorers on the market. So big.
Yeah. What's it going to take, Tony, for them to start to move a little bit for shareholders?
Well, these types of stocks, Kerry, are kind of they baseline or they're hero or zero.
Yeah.
So any decent intersection or a joint venture could set that off. And I tell my clients that that's a stock that you have to hold just in case they make a discovery. But, you know, Rob's been persistent, and you only got to look at Chris Cairns that took 6 years to have the success he's had at Staveley. So, you know, these things don't happen straight away, but the risk reward is fantastic. But again, shareholders will, you know, those that hold it probably get bored of it sometimes, but it's only takes one drill hole. And as we've seen with discoveries, the best discoveries occur in shitty markets.
Yeah, very good point. Very good point. Metalbank.
Yeah, just raised them money at 0.7 of a cent. We have been involved for some time. They have some exploration projects up near Evolution's mines up in North Queensland, yep. And they are currently drilling. So, again, that's a stock that if they have a decent hit, obviously is going to become a disco inferno. You know,
they've certainly got the geos around them that know what they're doing. I mean, you mentioned Ziggy before.
That was Hammer.
Hammer. Sorry.
Yeah, that's right. But no, it's just an emerging gold story.
So who's running Metalbank, Tony?
Innes Scotland.
I remember Innes. She's a very smart lady.
Yeah, yeah. So she was running, she ran Citadel.
Citadel,
and then Ivanhoe.
Yeah, she's not a, she knows what she's talking about, that one. Very interesting. Yeah. Now, Minotaur Exploration.
It has been quite good. They ran on the back of Andromeda, the industrial minerals project in South Australia. They recently did some drilling in Queensland, and the results were disappointing, to be honest. But the share price ran on the back of ADN, so we got that uplift. They are one of the highest quality explorers on the market, and some of their team dates back to 2001 when they drilled into Prominent Hill, and that was the old Minotaur Gold.
Okay. Hammer, we've spoken about. Any other comments about Hammer? Briefly, got a good team.
Good team, good projects. It is going to take a bit of time to evolve, but you only need that step change moment, and then I'm sure that company has all the hallmarks for some decent growth. And a lot of these stocks, you know, well, even Ramelius was sub 5 cents for some time. It just takes management a bit of exploration luck and acquiring decent projects.
And even if the market has a little bit of a pullback and gets a bit frothy, it's still okay. You know, don't worry about it. If it's got a good team, you're still okay. I mean, it's not a given. It's high risk. These are exploration companies, ladies and gentlemen. It's always high risk.
Well, they got smacked down to 1 cent in March, and I actually had clients that came in quite heavily. And I guess when you get that fear, people will just sell for the sake of it. Yep. Bids get pulled, and suddenly they've got nothing to sell into, and a lot of smart money will come in during that capitulation, knowing that we'll come out of it and there's going to be some great growth stories. And, you know, you look at how Bill grew Northern Star. I mean, the major gold index in Australia dropped 66% at one point.
Yeah.
So you've just got to ride the lows.
You got to hold it. Know when to hold them and know when to fold them.
Exactly. Adalta. Adalta. A nice run to this. They have a alliance with GE Healthcare and actually starting to earn some revenue from that. Okay. So that's not a too big company. They're in the clinic at the moment on a AD214, which is based on a shark antibody for the treatment of IPF, idiopathic pulmonary fibrosis. So we're still in there. I still think that's a buy. They're around 12 and a half, 13 cents. But I think people got to look at the fact that GE Healthcare are involved and they're paying them. So that's a great story.
Yeah, well, GE Healthcare aren't going to go with, you know, just anybody, are they? So they do their due diligence.
Yep.
And last but by no means least, Exopharm.
Yeah, now this is a very exciting stock. I should make it quite clear that I was involved in the IPO from the ground up. So this
And is, when was that, Tony? When was the IPO?
We listed that in, 2018, late 2018.
Okay.
Yeah, so that was quite a process. Very exciting new field of medicine called exosomes.
So I've never heard of this.
Yeah, it's part of it's they're basing on the fact that it's part of the cell that could do all the work, that could help deliver drugs, could help treat diseases as well. So the belief is that it could, yeah, develop into a new class of medicines to rival stem cells. And they have fantastic management. Dr. Ian Dixon, who knows a lot about exosomes, and what they've been doing is building a company really experienced in the manufacture of EVs, exosomes, and there are some ex-CSL consultants involved, and he's building a serious company. But again, there is some placement stock that will come out post-meeting, which was issued at 24 cents. So, you know, there's always going to be a little bit of selling pressure from a placement, but this is the stock I am going to put some paper in a can for 5 years and just sell dribs and drabs over 5 years, because sometimes your best trading tool is your backside.
Oi! We're running out of time, Tony. There's so much I want to ask you, so many things, but listen, there's lots of different sectors out there at the moment. Give me your top three that you're looking at and say to me, buy or sell.
Well,
how's that for a generalist question at the end?
Yeah. Well, I think the gold sector, the small cap golds is hot at the moment. So there's going to be a lot of excitement in that sector. I've also started revisiting uranium.
Interesting.
Again, I think viewers should go back and watch that interview with Rick Rule.
Well, I've got another one with John Borshoff from Deep Yellow.
Yeah, as well.
An overview as well. So that's look, Tony, we won't go into too much detail, but I just look at uranium and say it's probably one of the cleanest fuels that we can use, and I don't understand why it's just not one of the energy sources that is taken up around the world. It's everyone seems to be frightened that we're going to have a nuclear explosion, but technology has moved on in leaps and bounds.
Well, it all stems back from Chernobyl and Fukushima.
Yeah.
So, you know, those two events have probably affected its uptake. But that's uranium is contrarian as you can get. But, you know, I was there 2005, 2006, and that was absolute, it was batshit crazy. But look, I don't think we're going back to those times, Kerry, but I think uranium's probably the best contrarian play on the market.
And there's not as many companies in there at the moment, so you don't have that much to choose from.
Yeah, I mean, when the money comes, you know, it's like trying to suck an ocean through a straw, but there's always the fast adapters. So suddenly uranium's hot, you're going to have 50, 100 uranium companies that suddenly just appear out of nowhere, as with any market bubble.
And are those the ones to watch out for, Tony, the ones that pivot from, I don't know, one sector to another, and that's when you go, no, don't touch it?
But you can make a lot of money if you buy early. So I guess with the spread of social media, a lot of stocks are going to run regardless. And my third sector is certainly, I think, biotech is going to be where it's at. And, you know, my view is that the long-term effects of COVID aren't known yet because it's only early days. So anyone that can show some success, the major companies have the vaccines, but anyone that can show respiratory success, fibrosis, lung issues, major organs that will assist with that process is going to do well. So I've long predicted a biotech bubble, but I think it's upon us.
So you heard it here first, ladies and gentlemen. Tony's top picks: gold, uranium, biotech.
Biotech.
But you got to be careful of which companies within that sector. There's a lot of them out there. Tony, if people want to reach out to you, what's the best way for them to do that?
Just tony@altocapital.com.au. And, the response has been great, so I'm actually drowning in admin. So my focus is to buy low.
So don't inundate him, because we need him to do his to go and do his research as well. He can't just do admin. Yeah. That's not going to do any of us any good. So don't all inundate him.
Yeah.
Tony, always great to chat to you. We'll see you in a fortnight's time, and maybe we'll focus in a little bit deeper on the uranium sector at that time.
Yeah, look forward to it. Thanks, Kerry.
Thanks, Tony.